Ouija boards, magic eight balls, palm readers, and horoscopes. All of these are ways in which people have attempted to connect with spiritual beings who can allegedly give us advice for today or maybe tell us more about our future. Most recently, kids have been attempting to summon the help of a spirit whose name is Charlie. According to the instructions which can be found on the internet, children are calling out to Charlie in the hopes of receiving instructions from the spirit world. Now, some people insist that this game is nothing more than just good, clean fun, while others believe that these kids are actually connecting with a demon. For example, there are several parents at the Juan Pablo Duarte Primary School in the Dominican Republic who claim that their children were actually possessed by Satan after invoking Charlie during recess at school. Many other kids at the same school have been traumatized after receiving inexplicable bruises on their bodies. And what's even worse than that? There are actually millions of kids playing this paranormal game, and they're being manipulated by spirits. Many kids are calling out to Charlie, and they're being manipulated by satanic spirits. Now, most of us here this morning are wise enough to realize that those who invoke spirits like Charlie, or those who play with Ouija boards, or those who seek instructions from magic eight balls or palm readers or horoscopes, we're smart enough to know that we're running the risk of being duped by the doctrines of demons. And while the average Christian knows to avoid these obvious traps that are set by the enemy, it's sad to say that there are many believers who are still failing to understand that there's doctrines of demons being introduced by false teachers and false prophets. We might know to avoid palm readers. We might know to avoid Ouija boards. And yet, how often are we duped by those false teachers who are preaching doctrines of demons? Here in our study today, we're going to learn how to discern the difference between the true teachers of Christ and the false teachers who are proclaiming the doctrines of demons. And as we make our way through our text today, we're going to see, first of all, how the doctrines of demons cause a carnal confession. Secondly, we'll learn that the doctrines of demons are promoted by a profane profession. Thirdly and finally today, we'll learn that the doctrines of demons stimulate a sinful suppression. Well, with this as our outline, let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, because here we find the Apostle John. He's warning the disciples of Christ about the spirits who bring doctrines of demons. As you make your way to 1 John 4, I want to continue setting the stage for our text today by taking a moment to remind you about the point that John was making back in chapter 3. I'll remind you that the apostle was actually helping his audience to discern the difference between the children of God who trust in Jesus Christ and the children of the devil who reject the Lord and Savior. Now, here in our text today, beginning here in chapter 4, we find John, he's continuing to describe the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil by helping us to discern the difference between the doctrines of God and the doctrines of the devil. But this is our focus, if you would look with me here, beginning at verse 1. Here John declares, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, here in our text today, we find the Apostle John. He's addressing the beloved believers there in the first century church. And knowing that the church had already been infiltrated by many false prophets, John took the time to encourage them to become those believers who were actually standing guard against the evil spirits who were attempting to corrupt the Christian church with doctrines of demons. And so there in the beginning of verse 1, John declares, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Now, the word spirit here was translated from the Greek word pneuma, and it's important to point out that this is the same Greek word that John used at the end of chapter 3 when he wrote about the Spirit of God who has been given to every born-again believer. And so while it's true that every Christian has received the Holy Spirit of God, it's also true that there are demonic spirits in the world who are here to deceive us. The Christian who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've received the Spirit of God, and yet there's all these other spirits out there. Many of them bad spirits. And so John is encouraging the disciples of Christ here to test the spirits. As a matter of fact, look with me again there at verse 1, because here John declares, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God." Now, the word test here, it's translated from a Greek word which was used to refer to the scrutiny of careful examination. Not only that, but John was also referring to the sort of test which would help a person to determine whether or not the thing being tested was actually genuine or if it was counterfeit. For example, if you've ever been shopping and you've had large bills on you, like a $100 bill, then you know that store clerks are now trained to carefully examine any bill larger than a 20. And only after the bill has been tested and found to be genuine will they proceed with the transaction. They don't want to accept counterfeit money. In a similar yet spiritual way, we too should be testing every spirit to see if they've been sent from God or not. But now you might be wondering, how in the world do we go about testing the spirits? Do Christians receive a special pen and you mark on the spirit, and if it turns a certain color, then it's counterfeit? Yes. Did you not get yours? What sort of test can we conduct in order to determine whether a spirit is demonic or angelic? Well, in order to answer this question, it's important to understand that the demonic spirits who are sent by the enemy, they will oftentimes reveal their faulty doctrines through the false prophets who are speaking for them. This seems to be what John is telling us here in our text today, and what this is our focus. Let's take another look at our text. If you would look with me again there at verse 1, here John declares, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Here in this verse, John is letting us know that the world is filled with false prophets, false teachers who have embraced the doctrines of demons. Therefore, one way that we can test the spirits is by carefully examining the confession of faith made by those who claim to be spiritual leaders sent by God. And here in our text today, John presents us with a perfect test which will help us to discern the difference between those who are speaking the truth in love and those who have embraced the demonic doctrines of satanic spirits. With this as our focus, look with me again there at verse 2, because there John declares, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Here in these verses, we find John helping his audience to understand how we should test the spirits. And according to the apostle, we simply need to test the confession of those who would try to act as our spiritual guide. The minute someone wants to become your spiritual teacher, we need to test their confession of faith. The word confess, which is found there in verses 2 and 3, That word confess was translated from a Greek word, which was used in reference to those who would acknowledge something as being true. When somebody makes a confession, they're saying, I know this to be true, or this is what I believe. In light of this definition, John was encouraging us to test the confession, to test the beliefs of those who would try to teach us spiritual truths. As a matter of fact, look with me again there at verse 2, because there John declares, by this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses, acknowledges, and believes that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now as we consider this confession, and I should take a moment to consider the historical context of this book, it'll help you to know that John was writing this letter in 90 AD, and at that point in time, the church was dealing with a heresy known as Docetism, which provided the groundwork for what eventually became known as Gnosticism. Those who were promoting the demonic doctrine of Docetism, well, they were attempting to convince the world that Jesus didn't actually take on the frailty of humanity through the virgin birth. They didn't believe that Jesus was actually a human. Rather, he only, according to them, appeared to have a physical body during the days of his earthly ministry. Knowing that this heresy was beginning to affect those who had embraced the true Christian faith, John here encourages his first century audience to test the spirit of those who were trying to teach them this new doctrine of Docetism. He tells them here to do so by asking them to confess that Jesus Christ literally came in physical flesh. In other words, John was helping his audience to understand that those who are speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, well, they're going to quickly confess that Jesus Christ is the physical incarnation of God the Son. This would be something that the Spirit of God would lead us to believe and understand to the degree that we can understand it. At the same time, though, John also insisted here that every spirit who does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. In other words, if a spiritual teacher refuses to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, then we can be certain that their confession of faith is nothing more than a carnal confession, which comes straight from the spirit of the Antichrist, which, according to John, is now already in the world. Now, we recently did a study on the Antichrist, the last time that John mentioned it, but here he's referring to the spirit of the Antichrist, and that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world, and I'll remind you that the Antichrist, who is yet to come, will eventually be indwelt and possessed by the devil himself. Therefore, the spirit of the Antichrist is Satan. And Satan is already in the world, attempting to deceive us. Therefore, the spiritual teachers who deny the Lord's physical incarnation, well, they're nothing more than servants of Satan. That being the case, we would all do well to test the confession of faith of those who would become our spiritual teachers. And with this as our goal, you would hold your place here in the book of 1 John and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. As you make your way to 1 Timothy 4, I want to remind you of something John said when he told us here in our text that many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now consider that for a moment. He's writing in 90 AD, and he's telling us that there were already many false prophets. The first century church, he's telling us there's many false prophets, and listen, if this was true in the days of John, then you better believe that the 21st century church has many more false prophets. If there were many false prophets in the first century church, how many more false prophets do we have today? Therefore, it's crucial for Christians to take the time to test the confession of faith made by every spiritual leader. The reason why this is so important is found here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You would look with me there where Paul tells us that the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, there's going to be many, many believers during the last days in which we live who will end up departing from the faith. And the reason why for this widespread apostasy, well, it's based on the fact that the church no longer tests the spirits. It's sad to say that the 21st century church has placed a higher premium on style over substance. As long as it's cool and hip and trendy and everybody's doing it, and that's all that matters. We're no longer concerned about substance. We're no longer concerned about theology and doctrine. Rather than testing the theological confession of every teacher, well, the majority of Christians today prefer the popular personalities who know how to put on a performance. I can tell you as a pastor that people who come to check out this church are usually looking at the children's program or how awesome the worship team is, and the last thing they ask about, if ever, is our statement of faith. That ought to be the first thing that you look at. Please trust me when I tell you that we need to carefully examine the confession of faith made by spiritual teachers that we listen to. Before you buy their book, before you watch their television program or listen to their radio show or even visit their church, take the time to first test the spirits by examining their statement of faith. Examine their statement of faith and see if it lines up with the scriptures. Make sure that their confession of faith is in line with the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which is revealed within the pages of the Bible. And in this way, we'll be able to expose the carnal confessions of those who have embraced the doctrines of demons. And listen, the doctrines of demons will not only cause a carnal confession coming from the mouths of those who have believed anything other than the Bible. Well, the doctrines of demons are also promoted by an ongoing profane profession. And with this as our focus, I'd like you to turn back to 1 John chapter 4, where we find the Apostle John. He's continuing to warn the first century church about those who have embraced the doctrines of demons and then will continue to profess those false doctrines. But this is our focus. Look with me again, beginning at verse 4. Here John declares, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them." Now here in these verses we find John, he's once again drawing a distinction between the children of God and the children of the devil who are of the world. And according to the apostle here, those who are of God, well, we have overcome those who are of the world. That word overcome was translated from a Greek word which was used in reference to those who were victorious after conquering their enemies. This is the same word that John used back in chapter 2 when he assured his audience, chapter 3, where he assured his audience that believers have overcome the wicked one. We've overcome the wicked one, and now he's letting us know that we have overcome the false teachers who are the servants of Satan. Those who are of God are victorious over the servants of Satan who are proclaiming false doctrines. The reason for our victory over every false teacher is based on the fact that the Spirit of God in us is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist who is in the false teachers. As a matter of fact, look with me again there at verse 4, because here John declares, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Now, the word greater there is the same word that John used in our text last week when he declared God is greater than our heart. Remember, we learned that God who is in us is greater than those guilty feelings that we might feel. God is greater than those feelings. And not only is he greater than our own feelings, but he's greater than the spirit of the Antichrist who is already at work in this wicked world. And with that being the case, listen, those who are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit no longer need to worry about the demonic deceptions of the devil. We don't have to worry about it. You don't have to spend one second of your life worrying about those false teachers and their attempt to deceive us, so long as you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, then you won't be deceived by those false prophets. The born-again believer who is living under the influence of the Holy Spirit will be able to discern the difference between the voice of the Spirit, who was sent to lead us into all truth, and the lies of those satanic spirits who are leading people to profess the doctrines of demons. You see, the voice of the Holy Spirit, listen, the voice of the Holy Spirit will always line up with the Word of God. You want to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? Then you need to know the Word of God. Because the voice of the Holy Spirit will always line up with the Word of God, while those who profess the doctrines of demons, well, their doctrines won't line up with the Word of God. Their doctrines will fall in line with the ways of the world. In order to prove my point, look with me again there at verse 5, because there John declares, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. Now here in this verse, we find John referring to the false prophets who proclaim the doctrines of demons, and he talks about them as being those who speak as of the world. And I should point out that the word speak here, it refers to the faculty of speech, which is used to profess one's thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. And so when they speak about their thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, it lines up with the ways of the world. The false prophets who promote the doctrines of demons are proclaiming a profane profession, which is right in line with the wicked ways of this world. And it's sad to say that there are many Christians who have actually embraced these profane professions. In order to explain what I mean, I should point out that one of these profane professions that has silenced the faith of many Christians, it's based on a misinterpretation of something that Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 1, where he declares, "Judge not that you be not judged." It's one of the most misused, misinterpreted verses in the entire Bible. And there are many false teachers and even probably people that we know who have twisted this verse in an attempt to convince Christians that we aren't allowed to judge others because Jesus said so. And so the minute you try to say, well, you shouldn't really be living like that, or you really shouldn't be doing that, or hanging out with those, judge not, lest you be judged. And they try to silence us by using Jesus' words against us. But listen, Satan doesn't mind quoting Jesus. He has no problem with that. He has no problem twisting the words of Jesus to try to mislead us. Listen, Jesus wasn't telling us that we're not allowed to judge. He was telling us that we're not allowed to use our own standard to make hypocritical judgments. That's what he meant when he said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." He's saying, don't you dare judge another person based on some hypocritical standard of using yourself and putting yourself on a pedestal and acting like you're better than everybody else. Yeah, we shouldn't judge like that. At the same time, though, Jesus also directed his disciples to judge with a righteous judgment. That's a command that he's given to us. To judge with a righteous judgment, which means this. When we make a judgment, it needs to line up with God's word because that's the righteous standard. Therefore, when somebody tells you, judge not, lest you be judged, well, as long as you're making a judgment that lines up with the scriptures, you're right. Don't be silenced by those who are proclaiming these profane professions which come from doctrines of demons. Another profane profession proclaimed by those who have embraced the doctrines of demons is based on something that John wrote here in 1 John chapter 4. It's there in verse 8, and we'll look at this verse in more detail next week. But here in verse 8, John declares, God is love. Now, I love the fact that God is love. And yet false teachers want to use this to try to tell us that a loving God would never send anybody to hell. God is love, therefore he loves everyone, therefore he would never send anyone to hell for all of eternity. And the minute you try to warn people about hell, they say, well, I believe in a loving God. Doesn't the Bible say God is love? Again, they're twisting the scriptures. Yes, God is love. Of course he is. But does that mean that he will never punish anyone for rejecting the love that's found in Jesus Christ? Listen, these false teachers would have us to believe that love wins in the end, and therefore God allows everyone into heaven eventually. However, this is nothing more than a profane profession which is promoted by those who have embraced the lies of satanic spirits. One more profane profession that I want to talk about, this has derailed many disciples from the tracks of God's perfect will. It's based on the politically correct belief that our spiritual beliefs are a private matter and therefore should never be discussed in public. Now, the Lord has commanded us to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. That's what the Lord has directed us to do. And yet there's many Christians who will never talk about their faith in Jesus Christ because they've been convinced by politically correct people that it's impolite to talk about faith. They want us to believe that it's impolite to discuss religion with others because it's a private matter. They want to tell you that you shouldn't discuss your spiritual beliefs with others, which is actually them discussing their spiritual beliefs with us. They have no problem doing it, so long as they're trying to silence us, but they fail to see the contradiction. It's sad to say that many believers have embraced these sorts of doctrines. We've been silenced by those who would promote these doctrines of demons. And listen, this is just a scratch of the surface of all the demonic doctrines which are being professed by those who have embraced the lies of satanic spirits. As a matter of fact, listen, you have to understand this. Every confession of faith which is in conflict with the essential truths of God's word, it will always result in a profane profession which stems from the demonic doctrines of satanic spirits. If it doesn't line up with God's word, then it's demonic. According to the Apostle John, those who are of the world, well, these are those who are happy to hear the teachings of those who publicly profess these worldly ideas. With this in mind, look with me again there at verse 5. Here John declares, they are of the world, therefore they speak, or they profess as of the world, or they profess worldly things. And, he says, the world hears them. Now, the word hear was translated from a Greek word which was used in reference to those who would give ear to a teacher in order to comprehend, understand, and attend to their teachings. Therefore, worldly people, they want to hear the teachings of those false teachers who are speaking worldly things. We shouldn't be surprised by the fact that the people of this world, they're happy to hear those profane professors who are teaching doctrines of demons. But it's sad to say that the Christian who is walking after the ways of this world, well, they're also being duped by the doctrines of demons. But this is our focus. If you would hold your place here in the book of 1 John and turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. You see, it's in Galatians 1 where we find Paul. He's challenging, even rebuking, a group of believers at the church there in Galatia. The reason why is due to the fact that they had embraced a group of false teachers who entered their fellowship with the goal of spreading the doctrines of demons. And rather than rejecting the lies of those satanic spirits, and rather than running those false prophets out of their church, the Christians there in Galatia allowed those professors of profane things to come in and lead them astray. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me here at Galatians 1, I want to begin reading at verse 6, because here Paul declares, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, here in these verses, we find Paul, he's challenging the Christians there at the church in Galatia because of the fact that they had embraced a false gospel which was being professed by a group of false teachers. He's rebuking them because they had received these false teachers. And they had been duped by the false doctrines. And in an attempt to help them to discern the difference between the true doctrine of grace and the doctrines of demons that they had embraced, Paul encouraged them to go back and remember what they had received when Paul initially preached to them. And he helped them to discern that difference by encouraging them to reject any gospel message which failed to line up with the one which they had already received. And I believe that we would all do well to follow Paul's instructions. We need to look at the gospel message which was preached by the apostles. And if anybody tries to give us any other doctrine, they need to be rejected. If somebody presents you with doctrines which are in conflict with the truths of God's word, then we must understand that these teachings are nothing more than profane professions of those who have embraced doctrines of demons. And according to Paul, some believers might even find themselves face to face with some sort of angelic being. And he says, even if an angel from heaven comes and preaches anything else to you, let them be accursed, anathema. Even if a spiritual being shows up. Just because a spiritual being shows up doesn't mean they're sent from God. Paul tells us that the devil's happy to disguise himself as an angel of light. So just because an angel of light shows up doesn't mean they're bringing you the truth. That being the case, we would all do well to make sure that we examine the teachings of those who profess to know God. And no matter if the professor is some public figure who's widely accepted as being some great teacher, or if it's a supernatural manifestation of some spirit who shows up and claims to be your deceased grandparent, we must forever be on guard against those who are promoting the profane professions of satanic spirits. And the best way to do this is by comparing every teaching to the Holy Scriptures of God's Word. Does this profession line up with God's Word or not? Listen, the doctrines of demons, they cause a carnal confession, and the doctrines of demons are promoted by a profane profession. Finally, we should consider how the doctrines of demons stimulate a sinful suppression. And with this as our focus, I'd like you to turn back to 1 John chapter 4, because here we find the Apostle John. He's continuing to warn the first century church about the spiritual blindness which comes upon those who have embraced the doctrines of demons. But this is our focus. If you would look with me there at verse 6. Here John declares, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Here in this verse we find John informing the recipients of this letter that those who are of God are going to be those who give ear to the teachings of the apostles in order to comprehend and understand and embrace true biblical doctrine. And what this means then is that the born-again believer is going to set out to develop a biblical worldview, a worldview that is based on the Bible. And as we do, well, we're going to be able to identify the doctrines of demons which are being spread by satanic spirits. What this also means is that we don't really have to keep up with every single heresy in the world to recognize false doctrines. Now, you know me, I'm all for, you know, studying apologetics and looking at the beliefs of the cults and the false world religions and to understand those things. But listen, all you need to know to be able to recognize the doctrines of demons, all you have to know is the truth. There are many times when a new teaching is introduced to me, and I know instantly whether it lines up with the scriptures or not. You just have to know God's word. And if you know the doctrines of God's word, then you'll know when you hear the spirit of error. Therefore, I encourage every Christian to spend the bulk of their time learning biblical doctrine. We need to learn the biblical doctrines which are clearly defined within the New Testament epistles. Furthermore, John also tells us, he lets us know here that we can discern the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error by simply testing every teacher with a point-for-point comparison to the writings of the apostles. This is precisely the point that John was making there in verse 6, where he declares this. He says, "He who knows God hears us." He's referring to him and the apostles. "He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us." And then he says this, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Or more simply put, the spiritual teacher who fails to line up with the theology found in the New Testament is a false teacher who is teaching doctrines of demons. By this, whether they receive the instructions of the apostles or not, by this we know whether they're coming to us with the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. It's also important to point out that John was referring to the false teachers as those who will not hear the teachings of the apostles. In other words, you can go to these so-called spiritual leaders, and you can bring them the doctrinal truths of God's word, and you can deliver it up to them in such a simple way, and yet they will continue to reject the plain and simple truths of God's word, and the reason why is because they prefer the doctrines of demons that they've embraced. Now, it's true that the Lord is always ready to reveal his truth to these false teachers. He's always ready to shine the light of truth into their minds. And yet, it's also true that they're going to remain entirely unteachable and unable to receive good biblical doctrine so long as they continue to suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. That's what they're doing. When they hear the truth, they suppress it, because they've embraced doctrines of demons. In order to further explain what I mean, if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and it's in Romans chapter 1 where we find Paul. He's helping his Christian audience to understand that those who are embracing the doctrines of demons are doing so by their own choice. And though the Lord has manifest the truth of his righteousness within the hearts of every single person on the planet, the unbeliever is choosing to suppress the truth because they love their unrighteousness. But this is our focus. I'd like you to turn our attention here to Romans chapter 1. If you would look with me, let's begin reading at verse 18. Here Paul declares, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who," note this, "suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now here in these verses we find Paul, he's assuring his audience that the Creator of heaven and earth has revealed himself to every single person on the planet through the created order of the universe. You should be able to look at the created order of the universe and come to the conclusion that this didn't happen by accident. There is a design and there is order in this universe. Therefore, there has to be a designer. The creation reveals the Creator. And the person who would look at the creation and say, "Oh, big accident," is suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. And not only that, but the truth of God's righteous standard has been placed within the heart of every human on the planet, which is why we feel guilty when we do something wrong. And the person who says, yeah, but I just feel guilty because of social constructs and just because I was raised to think that that was wrong. And they're suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. That being the case, the unbeliever is actually suppressing these righteous revelations of God just so that they can continue to engage in their own sinful, rebellious ways. They love their sin, and so they suppress the truth of God. This is exactly the sort of person that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 3 when he told the Israelites this. He said, "The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Christian, listen, the unbeliever isn't an unbeliever because there's not enough information to become a believer. The unbeliever isn't rejecting the truths of God's word because there's insufficient evidence to believe in it. I was an unbeliever, and I didn't want to give up my sin, and yet I was open-minded enough to look at the evidence for the reliability of the Bible. And I saw that there was sufficient evidence to believe in Jesus and his life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. There was sufficient evidence, and I knew that I would have to engage in some sort of illogical suppression to walk away as an unbeliever. And so the unbeliever isn't rejecting the truths of God's word because there's insufficient evidence to believe it. No, the unbeliever is rejecting the truths of God's word simply because they hate the light of the truth. And instead they love their sin. As a result, these unrepentant unbelievers are quick to embrace any doctrine which will justify their sinful suppression of the apostles' doctrines. You see, we're all going to have a worldview. We're all going to have some sort of faith. And the person who is rejecting the true faith that would lead us to submit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they replace that true faith with a false faith, a faith in anything else, whatever it is. And with all spiritual blindness, they're quick to reject any Christian who comes along and tries to tell them otherwise. They continue to suppress the truth in their unrighteousness because they love their sin more than they love the Savior. Based on this, it's important to understand that those who will not receive the truths of God's word have embraced a worldview which is based on the doctrines of demons. Whatever it is. If it doesn't line up with the scriptures, then it lines up with the spiritual teachings of demons. And knowing that we all have relationships with people who fit this description, I need to take a moment to warn each person here today. We need to be warned about the sneaky ways in which satanic spirits will attempt to use our unbelieving friends and family members to provide us with ungodly counsel which is designed to lead us astray. If we aren't careful, we will quickly find ourselves being led astray by well-meaning unbelievers who just want to help us work through some problem that we're experiencing, but their counsel doesn't line up with the scriptures. The fact is, we all know unbelievers who are happy to provide us with counsel the very second we share some issue with them, and they're well-meaning. No doubt about it. Well-meaning unbelievers who are quick to say, well, this is what you ought to do, or you shouldn't do that. Of course we're going to have those people in our lives. But what's even worse is that there are many believers, even here in our church, who seek out the counsel of their unbelieving friends and family members. Christian, listen, every unbeliever is an unbeliever because they're suppressing the truth of God's word. Grasp that. They're an unbeliever because they're choosing to suppress the truth of God's word. What can they say to you? What kind of counsel can they give you? Listen, as an unbeliever suppresses the truth of God's word, they're simultaneously embracing the doctrines of demons which come from satanic spirits. And with that being the case, their counsel will always be affected by those demonic doctrines. Therefore, the Christian who receives the counsel of an unbeliever, they may very well end up embracing the doctrines of demons. Please trust me when I tell you that the unbelievers around us, they don't know how to discern the difference between good biblical counsel and bad demonic counsel. They don't have the Spirit of God living within them. How could they possibly give us good counsel? But Christian, you have the Spirit of God living within you. And God can give you the perfect counsel that you need. Not only that, but I would encourage you, if you need counsel, I would encourage you to seek the spiritual counsel that comes from spiritually mature Christians whose beliefs actually line up with the apostles' doctrines. Don't seek counsel from the unbelievers of this world. Find counsel here within your church from those who actually believe in God's word and have received the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Then we can avoid being duped by those satanic spirits who are happy to deceive us through the counsel of those who are suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. In conclusion, it's important for us to understand that the devil and his demons, they want to lead us down a path of spiritual deception. The devil may have lost the battle for your soul, but if he can just keep you led astray, if he can just keep you all bound up in some weird thing that you don't have to worry about, if he can keep you on some path of deception, then he can also keep you from becoming an effective Christian who is leading unbelievers to Christ. It's for this reason that we must learn how to discern the difference between biblical truth and the doctrines of demons. Therefore, I encourage you to always remember that the doctrines of demons, well, they cause a carnal confession. Therefore, we must test the confession of those who would claim to be our spiritual leaders. The doctrines of demons will be promoted by a profane profession. And when we hear people professing those doctrines that don't line up with God's word, we need to reject those professors. The doctrines of demons will stimulate a sinful suppression. Therefore, when we see those people who are suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness, we need to understand that their life is based upon doctrines of demons, not the truths of God's word. Rather than receiving counsel from them, we need to be their counselor. And we need to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might stop suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness and so that they might receive the good doctrine of God's holy word. That being the case, I want to encourage you in closing, spend your time learning the good doctrine of God's word. Spend your time understanding the writings of the apostles. Then you can become a believer who is able to recognize and reject the doctrines of demons. Let's pray.